Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Oh, man, American Gangster. All right, from that to Cam Inman. Cam Inman, of course.
Our American Gangster.
Our American Gangster. Our Bay Area Gangster, for sure. Bay Area hero. 49ers beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. Go check out his new book, The Franchise. Really, really good. Cam, happy holidays to you. Happy New Year's, Cam Inman. Joins us here on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Cam, what's happening, man? Did you have a good New Year?
I had a great New Year's, and first of all, I have to agree with Leroy, and I think he figured out what's wrong with the 49ers. They need to get more big boys in the paint.
There you go.
They're not getting in the end zone enough.
There you go. Work on the trenches, man. That's my New Year's resolution when it comes to the 49ers. Rebuild this offensive line. You got Pooney there, who's going to be solid. You found something there at right guard. Defensive line, I think, needs to be tweaked. You have some corners here who I really like in Diamond Lenore and Renardo Green. So I don't think it's all doom and gloom with the 49ers after the Monday night loss to the Lions. Hey, I didn't really care about the wins when the loss, whether they won or lost, Cam, I should say. But what did the youngsters do? Is there somebody I could build around? Is there somebody I could pluck from 2024 to 2025? And you know what? Ricky Pearsall showed up to the party on Monday, running some great routes there at the receiver spot, Cam.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, the whole point of, like, that game and this coming up game was, well, it doesn't matter now, but you just didn't want Brock Purdy to get hurt. You needed to go into the next offseason going, my quarterback's all set. We'll get him paid. We're going to build around him. The fact that he didn't sustain a long-term elbow injury, that's great. So you can throw it to Ricky Pearsall in the spring. You just won't be doing it Sunday in Arizona. So, I mean, when it comes to building around this team, you got to keep Purdy in mind, right? So you talk about the offensive line, but I think he's still, I got to get more out of that defensive front. I mean, that defense was really bad this season, and they brought in a lot of new guys around Bosa and Warner, and it just did not work. And they just need to get more game-changing A-caliber talent. And, you know, they ignored the defensive line in the draft for the first time in years. And I think it came back to bite them because there just wasn't a lot of youthful playmaking skills going after quarterbacks besides Bosa.
So you mentioned it. You know, Brock Purdy looking like a bruised elbow, nothing too serious, but not going to play this final week. How much of that is a concern, though, when they start doing these contract negotiations, if you're the 49ers, the injury history, Cam, how much is that going to play a part in these contract negotiations? Because you're looking at a guy who's 6'1", maybe 6'1". I mean, that's generous. I've stood next to the guy. I'm 5'11". Feels like he's the same height as me. So you're already looking at a smaller frame. He's had major surgery on his throwing arm. He already has limited arm strength in said arm. How much is that going to play a factor in these negotiations?
I would imagine they have to have some kind of safeguards in it. I don't know how you can do that in today's NFL's contracts and stuff, whether it's the length or the guaranteed money. But you're right, Joe. I mean, he's had elbow and shoulder trouble this season, along with past seasons. So I'm not so worried about his frame. I mean, Brock's a pretty durable guy otherwise. I mean, he's one aspect he really impressed this season was his mobility and a way to escape the pocket. Ran for like career high 300 something yards and 5 touchdowns. So you kind of saw that mobility that you want out of a smaller guy that can escape collapsing pockets. But that also circles back to, you know, what kind of money can they throw at him? And they've been budgeting for this for a couple years. So now it's just a matter of how do they hammer out a contract that's fair to him. I don't think it's fair just to say, look, you get hurt a lot. You're going to get a bargain basement deal. But there's a lot of things that the Niners, if they want to play hardball, I don't know if they would do that because I think everybody's so positive with Brock that he's their guy. Everybody's seen it. This was such a down year across the board for the team. I mean, there are so many breakdowns on special teams and defense. Yeah, you'd love the quarterback to rescue you out of a couple of those games, and Brock didn't. But he also has to cut down on those fourth quarter and second half interceptions on some plays where you go, what's going on here? So I think everything is going to be under evaluation.
Yeah, I think so, too. Parag Morate, Cam, has done a good job at structuring some of these deals here. So who knows of what the details may look like. They could front load it. They could get out of it like they did with Jimmy every single April. So I'm okay with Brock coming back because what's the alternative? You know, maybe Kirk Cousins is available. Do you really want to go to Kirk Cousins? Sam Darnold, what would he look like without Justin Jefferson or Jordan Addison and T.J. Hockenson? It feels like a perfect spot. The verdict is still out on Sam Darnold, so I'm not sure what to do. I'm okay with coming back with Brock Purdy. But what about Deebo Samuel? Because I thought it was alarming to me that Deebo, you know, sure, he was involved in a run game early in that football game on the first drive, 3 carries, 16 yards. But in the pass game, he was MIA, all the targets with the Jennings, Ricky Pearsall. It almost felt like, in a way, they were moving off from Deebo saying, look, in the pass game, I don't know how effective you can be. What do you think about Deebo in the season he's had? Because it wouldn't shock me, Cam, if that was his last game as a member of the 49ers this Sunday in Arizona.
Or if it was last game last week. I mean, it's been a really disappointing season, a season where they really needed Deebo to step up into that versatility role since they didn't have Christian McCaffrey for most, if not all, of the season. They just didn't do it. Instead, there was too many distractions. You saw the confrontation he had getting in a fight with a teammate in Tampa. You saw him after they blow out the Bears, and the next day he goes on Twitter saying, "Oh, I'm fine. They just don't give me the ball." And it's like, what are you talking about? And it's just not what you want. And I don't think he's washed. I don't think he's done. I think the Niners have to really debate whether it's worth keeping him, if they can do a post-June, get some salary cap relief. But I think you're right. I mean, for a long time, entering the season, he restructured his contract, right? Okay, well, he's not going anywhere for a couple of years. If it's not a negative issue, then I think they could move on without him.
One of the big storylines, I wanted to get your thoughts on this, Cam, obviously from the game, and we had Brian Baldinger on, our 95.7 The Game NFL Insider. We've had a lot of people on talk about this, so I want to get your perspective because you cover the team inside and out every single day. John Lynch, that was the most animated I've seen him during a game, I mean, maybe ever. Just what he was going through. He felt like he was like symbolic of the fan base. I felt like if I was a Niners fan, I was feeling how John Lynch was feeling in that booth. When the interceptions happened, whether the touchdown happened with Amon-Ra St. Brown, what did you make of John Lynch and his frustrations on Monday night?
I think it's probably I think there's a lot of frustrations, not just Monday night. If you had a camera on John Lynch all the time, I bet you he'd be like pulling his hair out, because this is a Hall of Fame safety who's built this roster and a perennial contender with Kyle Shanahan. When there's all these blown assignments, bad communication, it's just, that is not what they do. And it's happened all season long. And so the cameras caught him once or twice banging the table. Great. I mean, remember, when Trent Baalke was the GM of this team, he sat behind us in some press boxes and would be banging the table. And it's as a general manager, you're kind of helpless, right? These are the players you want out there doing their job. When they don't do their job, it's just very frustrating. But I think that's great. That shows that John Lynch is very passionate about this team and this roster still. So he's going to be intent on getting it back on track, because there's a lot that still needs to be done with this team. And there's a lot of personnel moves I think they have to do. They do have a great core coming back. Yep. And they got a nice schedule. I mean, this could very well be an outlier season if they can amend a few things and get some better talent in here.
I'm with you. Cam Emman here on the River Islands Guestline, Bay Area News Group beat writer for a long, long time, covered the 49ers, does a hell of a job doing that. I thought it was unnecessary. Obviously, Tim Kawakami asked Jed York about the status of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, and I'm not in that camp of saying, hey, man, somebody needs to go. Shanahan's done fine. When you look at the games that have been lost, I more put it on the players not executing. Now, sure, he's had some issues with the red zone and clock management and whatnot, but Shanahan, on the list of issues with the 49ers, he's not even in my top 10, maybe not even in my top 15. So they're going to be back here. Brock looks like he's going to be back. But how quickly do you think? You just kind of alluded to it, but you do believe that they could be back to they could compete for a division title next season with a couple tweaks. What would those tweaks be?
I think you got to upgrade the defensive line. One thing that on that defense, and I think this year everybody was holding out hope that Dre Greenlaw would come in and rescue, and all of a sudden he and Fred Warner are back as like the hot boys and just dominating, right? And it's just, that didn't happen. And so, do you bank on Dre Greenlaw coming back fully healthy? You just got to get some younger, faster linebackers that know what they're doing. Devondre Campbell was a disaster since training camp. D. Winters has some speed, some instincts, but he's often out of position. That drives Fred crazy, and you can see it out on the field. So, to me, I really think you really got to fortify that defensive front seven. The safeties need some help because there's too many guys that get past the safeties that just seem like out of whack. Offensive line, it's like, okay, what's going on with Trent Williams? Is he going to be fully healthy? I don't expect Trent to retire, which would be great for Brock Purdy and the line going forward. But you do have to think down the road and get somebody in place, maybe in a couple years, ready to go. Jalen Moore, who was his backup and played well this year, he's going to be a free agent. Right. So he's going to make his money elsewhere. I can't imagine that the Niners are going to pay him for that. So, there's a couple spots on the offensive line. Pooney did well. I think McKivitz is fine at right tackle. I don't think that they'll pay Banks because the money's got to go elsewhere to skill position guys. And then you got to get Ayuk back healthy, right? Now, here's the thing. Brandon Ayuk was in the locker room yesterday. He's been in here and there the last couple weeks, and he hasn't wanted to do like an interview about his knee and stuff. But we talked to him a little bit yesterday because he's shooting 18-foot jumpers. In one end of the 49ers locker room, they have a basketball hoop. No dunking is allowed. Guys always have shooting contests. Debo's usually right in it. Ricky Pearsall, Ronnie Bell. So Brandon Ayuk was in it yesterday, and he's shooting shot for shot with Ronnie Bell, about 18-footers. And it's not just he's not flat-footed. He's getting elevation while he's shooting. And I'm like, this is the same guy that just had ACL and MCL surgery a couple months ago. But I'll tell you what, he looks so healthy and happy. And if that stays on track for a few months and, I mean, come training camp next year, he should be ready to go and be back in form. There's no contract to worry about, and he'll have Purdy. So, I mean, there is optimism there a lot, especially with Brandon Ayuk. And I think that's a really good sign.
I'm in the camp that I believe the Niners could be competing for Super Bowl next season with the right tweaks. Now, changes. Do you think they'll make a change to anything, whether it's player personnel or the coaching staff? A lot has come down on Nick Sorensen. At the last season, we all talked about Steve Wilks, and I thought there was a lot of unwarranted noise towards Steve Wilks. What is Nick Sorensen's status right now? Because his defense, as you mentioned, has not played well.
No, it has not played well. Is it his fault that some of the personnel didn't fit? No. But there's some other stuff that they're just glaring issues of how bad they are in defense, in the run defense, lack of ingenuity in the pass rush. So I think they really do have to look hard at that spot. I mean, if he returns, would it shock me? No, because I think Kyle Wanna has some allegiance to him. He seemed very much more supportive of him than he was Steve Wilks at this time a year ago. Brian Schneider, the special teams coordinator, is also on the hot seat considering how absolutely bad the special teams were for the first, two-plus months of the season, plus whatever's been going wrong with Moody. So, there will be changes because that's just how it is in the NFL every year. It's not going to be changes at the top with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. I can't envision that. At least from the 49er perspective, I can't envision Shanahan wanting to go somewhere else because I think he and John work really well together. And that they're going to be determined, you're right, Vontae, get back to the Super Bowl. And where's that Super Bowl going to be? It's going to be at Levi's Stadium.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a big caveat to say, stick around, let's build this thing up and win the Super Bowl on the home field, and I think that's what they're going to go after. I think one other thing is they got to like kind of hold off on like Super Bowl talk because obviously this year was like, how are you going to bounce back from the Super Bowl hangover? I think this year has humbled them, and it's going to make them hungrier that they have to prove themselves all over again. And I think they can. I mean, the division went to the LA Rams, team that beat them twice, but they didn't manhandle them. And so I think the Niners are going to think that the division can be theirs, and they have a path to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, just hope it doesn't rain at Levi's Stadium. That's just all I'm hoping out. Real quick, I mean, you kind of mentioned his name there, and you know, I feel bad for the guy. It's been a tough season, a tough stretch. I mean, you got your own teammate was going after you at one point, but Jake Moody, you kicking for his job on Sunday?
No, I think that ship's almost sailed. It's I think one thing that the Niners have to understand is he came back from a really gruesome ankle injury to kick for them because they went through two other guys, and he's missed, 8 of his 18 field goal attempts since then, plus that point after attempt at the end. So there's issues with him, and look, he's under contract with a rookie deal, so you don't have to cut him. you bring in competition and have to answer those questions all through training camp? I don't see if that's a problem, because every position should have a challenger. So if they want to bring him back, fine. If they're that convicted in him that he's got the leg, he was hurt, okay. But if they think that he just needs a fresh start, then they need to go out and find somebody new. And my guess is it's not going to be a young rookie. It's going to be a veteran guy. Because, I mean, that has been a big issue, but the whole special team has been a lot of problems this year. So, yeah, that is one.
All right. So you've been so good to us, Cam, and I'll get you out of here with this one. We're doing New Year's resolutions, right? I'm not saying, everyone wants to say win a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, that's the obvious
one.
Yeah,
let's win a Super Bowl. But if you're Kyle Shanahan and you're the leader of this team and you've got your imprint everywhere, offensively, defensively, when it comes to player personnel, all of that, what's one thing you would like to see Kyle Shanahan tweak this offseason? Whether it is the defensive scheme, whether it is his own zone running scheme, I don't know, something. What do you think Kyle Shanahan should hone in on this offseason and say, you know what, this is what I need to fix?
He needs to fix Christian McCaffrey's Achilles and calves, because that guy is such a difference maker for the offense. If you want to get 30 for Purdy, get McCaffrey back on the field. I think that impacted so much with that team this year. And so if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I want to make sure that McCaffrey is healthy and ready to go. And if he's not, you better have somebody ready, because Jordan Mason stepped up big time those first couple months, was running for 100-something yards. So you need to restock that running back room. Mason's a free agent. Guerrero, you've kind of seen hints here and there that he could be good, but there's nobody like McCaffrey. So if I'm Shanahan, I want to make sure McCaffrey's fully healthy, because he's going to be the one that leads that charge to a Super Bowl 60.
I'm going to keep you along, Cam. I'm sorry. I'm going to hold you hostage here.
Yeah.
Trent Williams, how would you assess his play this season before he was injured? Because you brought up Trent Williams, and I believe with all that money on the table and with the pride that Trent Williams has, I don't think he wants to end his career on this note. So I do think he'll play again, and there's a lot of money to be had if he does play. But how would you assess this season?
Well, he did not make the Pro Bowl today. He had made it the past 11 seasons he's played. He probably will make it as an alternate, because one of these three guys that made it ahead of him will probably be in the Super Bowl or playing without an injury. So, but he'll make it by name. He won't play in it because obviously he's hurt. He missed the last seven games of the season because of an ankle injury, and he probably should have missed the last eight because he took a pain-killing shot to play through it before. I think it was against Seattle, right, before he went down. He wasn't the dominant force that we saw in past years. I don't think he was bad. I think he's still a top-level left tackle that you'd want back on your team protecting Brock Purdy. I do think he's fully motivated to keep going in his career. You know, he held out through training camp, and he got a nice pay raise, but he expressed a desire to play into his 40s, and he's about 36 now. So I figure he's got a couple more years, because he was talking about he wants to do something that other left tackles don't do, and maybe there's a reason they do not do that, because it's such a demanding position. But Trent's been an athletic wonder, and he just was not that this season. And I'd like to see him back, because I think when Trent Williams is on his game, that offense gets rolling, and you can go behind the left side, and it's just a lot of fun to watch. And instead, it was basically the George Kittle show all season. Kittle was far and away their best player, and he's going to the Pro Bowl because of it.
Yeah, I love to see him get an extension. He's probably going to make an All-Pro team. George Kittle was special this season, and he spoke it up as a leader. I think as a leader, he's really stepped up to the forefront. So a lot of good core members here. I think the Niners could be back in contention next season for big things here. But, Cam, thanks always for the time, man. Should be fun. Are you heading down to Phoenix for that last game? Should be a fun trip to Phoenix, huh?
I'm going to Phoenix.
There you go.
I'll be reporting live for you. So, Bonte and Joe, Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to everybody out there.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Cam. Cam, right, man. One of the good guys out there. Cover the team. And this is always funny during an interview. I glance at the Comcast business from time to time. This is why I say there's no gray area anymore when it comes to sports talk.
No nuance.